Hello, my name is Jeff Wiedemann. I am 41 years old. Today is Saturday, January 22nd, 2022, and we are recording from the lovely Tampa, Florida. I am interviewing my mother and father, John and Denise, and they'll introduce themselves in a second.
And I'm Denise Wiedemann. Hello. Glad to be here today. I'm 71 years old, and today is Saturday, January 22nd, 2022. We are recording here in Tampa, Florida. My interview partner is my husband of 51 years, John, and we are being interviewed by our youngest son, Jeff.
Yes, hi. My name is John David Wiedemann. I am a young 74 years old. Today's date is Saturday, January 22nd, 2020. We are
2022.
All 22. Sorry, we are all in Tampa Bay, Florida, and I am with my wife Denise of 51 years, and being interviewed by our son Jeff.
Awesome. Okay, so let's get started. We'll start with an easy question. So I'll ask this kind of both of you guys. I gave you this interview as a gift for Christmas. So after kind of it first set in what the heck this was all about, I was curious what your guys' thoughts are on this process and what are you most excited about to share today?
Go ahead.
Well, I think we were shocked when we got the gift because we didn't even have any idea that anything like this existed. We've done a lot of history touring in our retirement years. We've been to Washington, D.C. in the Library of Congress, so we were pretty excited to find out that we were going to be able to do this.
Yes, we were very excited, and I think this turned into an exercise that was a little bit different for us than we anticipated. The studying the questions together helped us relive our lives and kind of bring things forward again.
Awesome. So, Dad, before we get into some of the questions about you guys growing up, I wanted to say that, you know, almost everybody that I know that knows you thinks that you're just a really, you know, great guy, a considerate guy, and an all-around, you know, one-of-a-kind person. So I was wondering if you could start just by telling us about, you know, your outlook on life and your personality and a little bit about how you approach things.
Well, I think I'm always a positive thinker. I like to always think in the terms of the glass is always half full. And I take my work seriously, but I take my life with my family and everything else we do differently. I really enjoy life.
Yep. Okay, cool. So let's rewind the clock back to the olden days of when you guys were first growing up. So, Dad, we'll start with you. Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in North Haven, Connecticut, I lived on Clintonville Road.
Okay. Can you describe, you know, like what was your house like?
Sure. My dad built our house, and he built it in 1945, I was born in 47. So I was very young, obviously, in the house, and I remember it being I call it a 2.5-bedroom house because my mom had a bedroom, my sister had a bedroom, and I had a very, very small room. And then we had a living room, dining room, and a kitchen in the house. And we lived on 15 acres. And it was kind of like a small farm.
He built the whole house himself.
He built the whole house himself.
That is amazing. What was your childhood like?
Well, since we lived on 15 acres, there weren't a lot of people around us. So I remember my childhood being basically with my mom and dad and my sister. And we had a large piece of property, and I would play outside all the time with my sister. My sister was always watching after me and such, and we had a large garden in our backyard, and we had chickens, And my sister and I played out there all the time.
Any vivid memories, something that really sticks out from your childhood?
Well, I guess I remember I threw a rock and hit my sister in the head. I remember jumping.
Wait a minute. You? Oh, that's me. I threw
and,
a rock.
And I remember jumping off the chicken coop roof as a kid a lot.
Oh, really? Okay. Never got hurt?
Never got hurt.
Mom, what about you? Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
So I was, actually, we were both born in Yale New Haven Hospital. I grew up in West Haven, Connecticut. So we lived about, didn't know each other, but we lived about 10 miles away from each other. My house was more of a small city house. So it was a three-family home. My mom and dad and we lived in the first floor. My grandmother and grandfather lived on the second floor, and then we rented out the third floor. And each flat had two bedrooms and one bathroom. Eventually, there were six children, so there were six girls, and my mom and dad, and my grandmother and grandfather. And so we expanded all of us to be living in those two floors. So our life was really centered around, my life was centered around my five sisters. The gate went across the driveway and our yard was fenced in, and our life was in our backyard with each other as our best friends.
Sounds like a packed house.
It was a packed house with very small shared bathrooms for everyone.
So do you have any really vivid memories from growing up?
You know, I remember we had a three-car garage, one garage that, and it, all three cars' garages were attached, but at the back of the backyard. And we used to take things and make a theater in one of the garages. And so summertime play was writing plays for each other, getting some of my mom's old clothes and some old curtains and creating a theater in the garage. And then when we weren't doing that, we were riding our bicycles madly in circles around the backyard. That's around awesome. Those three garages.
Very cool. I like that. Dad, tell me about your mom and your dad. You know, where were they born? Where did they immigrate from?
Sure. Well, just backing up a step, on my dad's side of the family, his father, Paul, was German, and his mom was Swedish, and they immigrated in the late 1800s here. On my mom's side, her mother was from Australia, and she was given up for adoption, and she came over with an English group, the Clarks, and she married a man that was an American that had lived here for years, and his family goes back many years in this country. Then my mom and dad, I'm not sure what you're asking about
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
They were, my dad was a carpenter and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And, we had a very simple life. And then of course my sister, entered the world in 1945 and we just had a great family.
Nice. I know you had said that, you know, you thought it was important to talk about some of the sacrifices that were made for your family or for you. So I didn't know if there was anything else that you wanted to comment on with regard to that or.
Well, I guess the things I remember is, we were never at a want for anything, although our expectations were quite low, to be honest with you. So, I remember my mother, when I was completing high school and then we were talking about going into college, she actually decided to get a job and work, and that was the first time she worked. And she basically earned money to put me through college.
Nice. Mom, are there any traditions that have been passed down from your family?
Well, I would say having grown up Greek, and that is what has permeated our entire life, and I think continues to a big part today. So, you know, my grandparents were all born in Greece, both my mom's parents and my dad's parents. And so my mom and dad are first generation Greek Americans. You know, and even when I was growing up, the expectation was that I would marry somebody that was Greek.
And did you?
Well, that
not
was
quite.
That was mom's first question. Well, is he not Greek? So
you didn't meet your parents' expectations.
No. But somehow they got beyond that.
Yeah. So, Mom, I think you're an incredibly, you know, headstrong person, and I would have to imagine, you know, some of the things that make you got from your family. So, are there any specific, like, you know, life skills, lessons, or just character traits that you have that you felt like your parents instilled in you that are, you know, I should say that have been extremely beneficial or define who you are?
Well, certainly a really hard work ethic. And that was, you know, both from my mom and my dad. You know, my dad was a factory worker for 35 years. And, you know, his job has been gone for a long time. But, you know, he used to lift brass bars out of the furnace and put them on the conveyor belt. And that was his job every day for the whole time that he was working. You know, and my mom wound up going back to work when the twins, my baby sisters, were 4 or 5, because, you know, there wasn't enough money to feed all them out. So I watched how hard they worked and how carefully they managed everything in order to make it all work. And I think, and I was the oldest one, so a lot of the responsibility for my younger sisters fell to me. And I think that, you know, that really played into, and still does, who I am.
Yep. The oldest child.
Yep. The caregiver.
Uh-huh. Dad, is there anything that you wished that you had asked your parents before they died that you didn't get to ask?
Well, as one gets older, I think it's natural to think back of about your parents and their lives and such. And I wish I would have asked my parents a little bit more about their how they were brought up, how they felt about the periods of times that were difficult, the depressions, the World War II. What they did during those periods of time. My dad was a very young boy on his farm in Mount Carmel, Connecticut, and at 8 years old he dropped out of school to help his mom and dad on the farm and help support his brother Arvin, who was going into Yale University. So, you know, and I would have liked to ask more about his life and how they felt about some things.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit in your guys' lives. So let's talk about how you guys met. You know, ultimately you dated, you got married. So, Dad, where were you guys when you first met Mom? Or where were you?
Well, we remember this well.
Can I correct him?
We were at a college mixer, which was a dance. I went to New Haven College, which is now called the University of New Haven, and your mom went to Southern Connecticut State College. And she and her girlfriend went to the dance, and I went with my good buddy. And I remember walking into the gymnasium, and we looked across the room, and we saw these two girls against the wall. And I'm not sure who said what, but let's go over and dance. And that was the beginning of it.
That was it, huh? So... Well, first of all, I should ask, did you propose to Mom or did Mom propose to you? I assume you proposed to Mom.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about that in lead up to this. And, you know, honestly, what happened was after we started to go out, we were so connected together. We went everywhere together. We would get on the phone. I remember this at maybe 9 o'clock at night, and we'd talk for 2 hours on our party line phone. And I would send letters, and we would do this. And it just became natural that we knew that we wanted to be with each other forever.
And I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday. You know, back then... a lot of the people that we knew met their future spouse in high school. And a lot of, you know, a lot of our friends got married right out of high school. It was the dating life back then was, it was purposeful. It was to find somebody that you're going to marry and spend the rest of your life with. So I think that that was something that, as we went out, it was always there that, you know, well, okay, if we're going to keep on going out, we're going to get married.
Natural evolution.
It was.
So how did you propose? What was that?
There was no defined moment. It was just writing in the letters, things we talked about over the phone. It just evolved.
So the concept of a traditional proposal like you have today, would that... That event didn't specifically happen?
Oh, it did. He asked my mom and dad if he could marry me. And the funny thing was, I remember that specifically because in our house we had a swinging door between the kitchen and the living room and dining room. And, you know, he was there in the living room with dad and mom, and me and all my sisters were in the kitchen behind the swinging door. And asking each other, did he ask her yet? Did he say, what are they saying?
Well, that was to get permission.
I was asking
and then he
went to my uncle to get my ring. So, because my uncle was in the jewelry business. So the writing
was on the wall with six daughters in the house.
The ring came from my uncle. And I think you proposed in the living room in your mom's house one night.
Wow.
There you go. All right. So either one of you guys can answer this question. What advice would you give to a couple who's considering getting married?
Shall I go?
Sure. I'll chime in.
Well, the first thing that and we talked about this too, is that it's important to have values in common, because values are something that a person comes with, and values generally don't change. And if you don't share common values and a common vision for what you want in your life, then it's really hard to sustain a marriage for a long period of time without that.
Adding to that, I think what really was so good for us is we were so young when we started going out together. I think I was 21, and
were 20. I was 17.
I was 20. She was 17. Mm-hmm. And so we grew up together. We were so young, we grew up together in our thinking. And what your mom liked, I liked, and what I liked, she liked. And we just evolved thinking the same way.
And I think the other big thing is if you see something that that you don't think you can live with, don't think you can change it.
Yeah.
So now let's assume somebody's already gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for people who have just gotten married?
Patience.
A lot of patience, a lot of love, a lot of compromise. All grass has weeds in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we think it's easier to walk away and find something better. And in reality, it's generally easier and better to work on what you have.
And sort through the things in front of you and think of the big picture.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little things that distract one and are upsetting, but the big picture is really where the focus needs to be.
All right. So after dating and marriage comes children. Mm. So, Mom, a couple of questions about, I'm sure, three wonderful, amazing children. Probably the youngest one. Most amazing, I'm sure.
Most.
Unquestionably.
Most
How has being a parent changed you?
Well, you know, it's funny because my profession was a teacher. And, you know, again, a lot of my growing up was taking care of my younger sisters. The youngest ones are 9 years younger than I am. So I had a lot of experience with dealing with children. But I think that you have no concept of the amount of love that you have until you have your own children. And the things that you can be very, I think, cerebral about with other people's kids, you can't with your own because your heart just gets in the way.
Yep. Well, and I have two children. They're young. They're 6 and 4. So, I do understand the concept that it's very easy to think you know what you're doing raising kids when they're somebody else's kids. But when they're your own, you don't really necessarily know what the right next move is. Or at least that's the way I feel. Is there anything that maybe you would have done differently with how you raised or how you guys raised kids?
So I'll go first on this one. So it's funny because when you use the term a couple of questions ago that I'm, you know, a pretty headstrong person. I am a pretty headstrong person. So part of my reputation as a mom was being a general,
a sergeant. Actually, that was what it was.
That was it. Sergeant was the right word. I tended to parent with a strong arm and a strong will. And so I probably, looking back, I'd probably try to be softer on that.
I thought you were going to say more strong.
No. You did test me. But, you know, and we've talked about this a lot. You know, we've looked at the finished product. We have three amazing children who have all grown up to be just wonderful adults, wonderful parents, wonderful human beings. And so we modestly have to take some credit for our part in raising those three wonderful people.
I agree. So in a matter of maybe having to swallow some of my pride, I have two kids, 6 and 4. So do you have any advice for me in terms of raising my kids?
I think you're doing a pretty wonderful job. I think one of the things that we think is pretty incredible is how much freedom you give your kids to make some of their own decisions as little as they are. And the exposure that you're giving them to just a lot of things in the world that I think are we'll set a really good value system for them. They tend to be a little bit wild and woolly, and nobody ever sits down for a whole dinner. But all in all, they're two pretty amazing little guys. So
the other thing I think, which is so good to see, and you do this, and Becky and Rick do the same thing, is all of you make sure that your children interact socially at many different levels. So they get involved in things. They're out with children. They're out with adults. They're out with many, many, many different people, and they're just not secluded in their rooms or their houses. So they're seeing experiences that are very broad, and that just helps them grow and mature and be really strong people as they get older.
I think you have to be there, and it's being the parent, not being the friend, because there's a huge difference. Giving them enough leeway so that they learn how to be good human beings, but not so much leeway that they hurt themselves.
And you all do a good job of giving them experiences, you know, traveling and just showing them different things and getting involved in all these activities are just broaden their awareness that there's just more than living in my house.
Well, thank you guys for that. I appreciate that.
I will say my heart's been in my mouth when they learned how to swim.
With all our grandchildren.
All right. So, I don't want to spend too much time on, you know, the next thing I want to talk about is career. So, Dad, I just want to ask you I know you were kind of the main worker in the house for a lot of the time. So what did you do for your job?
Well, I when I graduated from college, I had a mechanical engineering degree, and I went in and I worked for Winchester Firearms, a division of Olin Corporation. And I was just an engineer helping develop sporting arms and such. And then I got into manufacturing with that company and quality assurance. And I basically transitioned. I went to work for Stanley Works, and I worked there for 17 and a half years in various capacities, and got into general management. And then when I left Stanley, there's three other companies that I work for. And I always tried to work for tool companies. Since my dad was a carpenter and I spent so much time with him early on and when I was young, he would have tools and use a lot of tools. And I like to use tools. And so when I got the Stanley job, it was like the best job I could ever have. And then after that, I basically worked for different smaller companies that were in the tool business.
So you... Overall, you liked what you did or didn't like what you did?
I loved what I did. I don't think there was a job I didn't like. There's circumstances that happen in work that you don't like, and in particular, it can be related to things that people do or say or whatever and such. But if you've, I focused on the function of the job and what I had to do, and I really enjoyed it. And I think that... really helped me feel good for all my working career.
So do you have any advice that you would, you know, give to somebody who's at the early stages of their career, what, you know, from what you learned?
Well, I think what helped me is I looked for the people that I felt were doing the best job around me. And I tried to emulate or even be better than them if I could. And I know my supervisors picked up on that, and that helped me advance in my careers.
All right, so, Mom, let's shift gears to a subject that I know is very near and dear to you, which is religion.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, what is your religious and spiritual beliefs?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was, of course, having been born to Greek parents, we are Greek Orthodox, and were certainly raised that way. Absolutely every Sunday in church, all of our years through Sunday school. And then it's funny because then when it was time to get married, you know, and Dad wasn't Greek, he knew that at one point or another he had to be some kind of Greek in order to, for us to get married. So that's what happened, and I think that had a lot to do with our being able to raise our kids in the same way with a common understanding of God and how to worship God. And I think religion is really important because it gives you a place in eternity. You know, without religion or without belief in God or a supreme being, you're a blip on the radar screen, in a very, you know, scientific world. Whereas belief in God gives you a place in eternity and a good sense for how the world was created. Because there's a lot of miracles that are starting with the birth of your children that happen that just don't happen by accident.
Mm-hmm. How has your guys' faith changed or evolved over time?
I think for us, well, we've certainly laxed off, you know, in going to church. We don't go to church nearly as often as we used to when you guys were growing up. I know for myself, it's been hard, but I think I've gotten a little bit more broad-minded, and I think that I've kind of reached a conclusion for our children and our grandchildren and hopefully our great-grandchildren that it's more important to have faith than to have a particular faith.
Right. Well said.
One of the topics that you guys wanted to talk about, I was so glad that you added it, is patriotism. Because I know you both well, and you guys are clearly very patriotic and love America, and I think that's one of the things I love about you guys. So tell me about that. You know, how important is it to you, your patriotism and being American?
Well, I think for us, we look at the sacrifices that were made to have us be able to be free in what we want to do, have the kind of jobs we want to have, live the kind of lives we want to have. And I think we've recognized that there's no place in the world like the United States for giving those opportunities to think and do the things one wants to do. And we have gotten a good understanding with our travels and reading things about the history of the country and the sacrifices that were made by our forefathers in putting the Constitution together, and certainly all of the events that happened over the years to make our country as strong as it is today. And we just hope that continues to be taught and exposed to our children, our grandchildren, and everybody going forward.
You know, and I would say that it's hard to look at us today and think of it this way, but we really are the embodiment of the American dream. Our grandparents emigrated to this country with not a dime to their names, no ownership. They didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to write. You know, my grandfather shined shoes for a living for his life. My grandma, you know, never owned anything, lived with my mother and father her whole life. Our parents, I mean, my dad's family never graduated from high school. So my mom was the only one to graduate from high school in our family. And so we went from that to who and what we are today and have, you know, both gotten multiple college degrees, have lived a wonderful life, have been able to choose what we've wanted to do. And all of that is, we believe very strongly, is possible because of the freedom and the opportunity that the country has afforded us.
And we have watched our children continue to evolve the same way that we did. They're smarter, they're better, they're in their jobs and everything they're doing today, they've done so well, and they're passing that on to their children, and we're seeing the American dream continue with them, and we just want it to just keep continuing forever with our family.
Yeah, I don't know where and when that, you know, was instilled in me, but I do feel like, you know, you can tell that you guys are benefactors of what your parents did, who are benefactors of what their parents mm-hmm. did, and, you know, me and mm-hmm. then, you know, my kids yeah. are, like, I totally believe that, like my main goal with my children is to try to do whatever I can to make sure they have a better life than mm-hmm. I had, which, mm-hmm. of course, has been, you mm-hmm. know, really good.
All of you, our children, you all marched in the 4th of July parades. You marched in Memorial Day parades. We were proudly on the side of the road watching you with your instruments and your flags and all of that. And that's a phenomenal feeling.
Yep. Okay. Well, I do feel like we're going to get to some of the tearjerkers. So we'll see in asking some of these final closing questions. So, Dad, I'll start with you. What are you proudest of? You know, what's most important to you in your life, and what are some of your proudest moments?
Oh, that's easy. It's my children. It's being able to marry your mother and put together a life that allowed us to have three wonderful children, and our grandchildren are evolving exactly the same way. So I think that's the most is the best thing for us, or for me, for sure.
And what are some of the most important lessons that you've learned in life that you maybe want to make sure that you, you know, pass on to?
A lot of it's what your mom said, just work hard, nothing comes easy, and stay focused, and look at the positive side of life, and just...
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we did, our kids always came first. You know, once we had them, we did have 5 years by ourselves, and now we're clearly by ourselves a lot.
I can't remember those.
But our kids always came first, and still do. You know, there's decisions that we make because
and always will
because you know we put you first. And I think that those are some of the, you know, the life lessons that we would want to pass on is, in our minds, ultimately, there's nothing more important than a family.
Yeah.
So, Mom, if this was your last conversation, what would you want to say to your children?
We are very, very proud, and we love you more than anything that we could possibly express in words.
And I'd say the Thanks. Same thing.
I told you that was going to be a tearjerker. I love you guys, too. So glad we got to do this.
Yep, we are, too.
Thank you for the opportunity.